Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I do want to go real quick, and we want to go to James Foley's parents. Mm-hmm. You know, really on a serious note, on you know, our hearts go out for them. Our hearts go out for James, the family, his brother, and the rest of the nation as we mourn a fellow citizen that was killed. Hear his heart, his parents' heart, and find out what a big heart James Foley, photojournalist, actually had. Watch this.
There, the stand-up guy, you know, which was his passion. That's what he wanted to do for others. That's what he wanted to do for his fellow journalists. We also appreciate the tremendous number of prayers that we've received and Jimmy received throughout all of our communities. Jimmy had said in Libya, and we're very sure now, that he could feel the prayers, and we think his strength came from God.
It did. As a matter of fact, we are the only American family that has never received a letter from Jim. They apparently were all confiscated. So the last hostage to come out, Daniel, she memorized a letter from Jim. And within hours of his freedom, he was good enough to call and voice that letter to us. And it just spoke of his yearning to see all of us once again. Jim was very close to the family, too. And his nieces and niece and nephews, you know, he was. But so he really expressed his love in that. So we're very grateful for that. But we, as John said, so many people were praying for Jim. And I really think that's what gave Jim an unusual courage. Jim just could feel the prayers. He was strong, courageous, loving to the end. I mean, we just hardly recognize our little boy. I mean, he was just a hero, you know?
And from the videos that his last words were, I wish I had more time to see my family.
So Jim had a big heart, and that's what we shared with President Obama. You know, we just pray that Jim's death can bring our country together in a stronger way, and with the values that Jim hold dear.
Hell dear.
Sir Jim would never want us to hate or be bitter, and we cannot do that. And so we are just very proud of Jimmy, and we are praying for the strength to love like he did, and to stay courageous and to keep fighting for all the people that he was fighting for. And again, to pray for mercy for the remaining American hostages.
Do you have a message for the people behind Jim's death?
We beg compassion.
Yeah. And mercy.
We beg compassion and mercy of Jim's captors, for Stephen Sotloff, and for the other captors. We just beg mercy. They never hurt anybody. They were trying to help. And there's no reason for their slaughter.
Jim was just innocent, and they knew it. They knew that Jim was just a symbol for our country. And it's that hatred that Jim was against. Jim was there to hear the truth and bear witness to the love and the suffering, the hopes of the people to be free, like we are. And they knew that.
So we've done this before, so let her rip.
In the speech that he was supposed to give, he mentioned his brother in the Air Force.
In the what?
Yeah.
In the
Air Force.
He did.
How is that brother?
You know, I mean, all the brothers. I mean, Jim was the oldest. Jim was just so loved. I mean, he was the big brother. And one of the reasons he was drawn to conflict journalism was because of his brothers in the military. He he, as a matter of fact, one of his first assignments was in Afghanistan, where his Air Force brother was stationed at the time. And so I think Jim wanted to be there. He wanted to be there where John was. He wanted to cover what was happening at the human level. So
actually, before that, he was with the Indiana National Guard in Iraq. It was the largest single state contingent sent. And he was able to write articles that would humanize the soldiers, and actually were sent back to their local newspapers. And the parents of these soldiers were so grateful because they had some news about their children. And again, there was a humanizing nature of Jimmy. Yes, there's a war. Yes, there's conflict. But there are people involved, you know, and there are feelings involved, and there's sacrifice involved. And he felt that that was worth sharing, and I couldn't agree more.
Your other son is also.
Pardon?
Your other son is also in the military.
We have. We had four sons. We have three sons. This is Michael's the second oldest. The other two are in the military. And one of the things
we have a Navy nurse also.
And we have a Navy nurse, but
she's not a son.
To speak to John in the Air Force, his little girl said to me this morning, "Mimi, when I heard about Uncle Jim, my heart was broken." And that's the way we feel.
She's five.
She's seven, dear. But when she, you know, that just expressed that we all, you know.
And her name is?
Rory. R-O-R-I. And she said it all.
Could you just talk a little bit about his decision? Obviously, it was a very difficult time for your family when he was in captivity previously. About his decision to go back and those conversations that you had. I mean, was he just felt that this was really his mission to go back there, and was that hard for you all?
Oh, absolutely. I think it made some of the siblings mad, understandably. I mean, Michael led the charge when he was in Libya tirelessly to get do everything he could to get him out. So there were many emotions coming out. You know, some of the siblings were angry. How could you do this to us? You know, we were taking it personally. And, you know, we just tried to talk to him about, you know, Jim, you have so many gifts.
Why
are you doing this?
We were at the point of considering fundraising / ransom prior to Jimmy's death. And we were making a video, which I'm sure is going to come out. Mm-hmm. It's a video of all of Jimmy's experiences and all the people, many of the people whose lives he's touched. And that's going to continue no matter, despite his death. But one of the comments from one of the experts actually was
You're hearing from Jim's parents, Jane Foley's photojournalist who was killed, murdered by ISIS, executed, he was beheaded. And to hear everything that's being shared about his life and what he gave us, this is truly his calling. I mean, what a family. Like, we're listening to James Foley, photojournalist, who was beheaded in Iraq by ISIS. We're hearing his parents share their heart about their son as they're being interviewed by reporters. We want to bring you right back to this interview. Watch this.
Despite his death, but one of the comments from one of the experts actually was the person who runs CPJ.
Joel Simons.
Joel Simons, thank you. Please get that right. Joel said, you know, well, when asked, you know, why did he go back? And the answer was, well, why do firemen keep going back into the blazing homes? Because it's their job. And he felt this was his job. This was his passion. So he's not crazy. He was not crazy. He was motivated by what he thought was doing the right thing, and which gave him energy to continue.
Because that one, one time I remember right in our kitchen, I said, Jimmy, you have so many gifts. I mean, you can do so many things. Why go back and do this? He says, Mom, I found my passion. I found my vocation. I mean, he just felt compelled.
Where did that come from? I mean, did you have a hint of that when he was growing up, or, you know,
came from his mother.
I don't know where it came. Jim was a fun-loving, very, you know, daring, but fun-loving kid.
He was always a listener, and just couldn't detach from other people's lives. He was part of their life. When you told him your story, he was there. He was there for you, with you, whatever else, you know.
It's been a long wait. You have been, aside from covered from the press, so gracious in your sharing your worries and your prayers for Jim. And now here we are, 21 months later. It's been a long journey. How are you bearing up? How are you as a family finding your strength?
We're in the moment.
Well, we are. We're in the moment. But you know, every time we started to get despondent over these 2 years, we thought of Jim. I mean, we thought of Jim and his courage, and in the midst of his suffering, he was helping the other prisoners. I mean, there were a couple of much younger people in that cell. Jim was one of the older ones, and he would sometimes just hold one of them, we're told, you know, who was struggling so. So when Jim could do that, you know, somehow we needed the strength. So we just prayed to God for the strength. And thanks to so many prayers, I mean, God has given us so many prayers, you know. But we continue to feel weak, and we just pray that we can be as strong as he.
It's difficult to find solace at this point in time, but we know Jimmy's free. He's finally free. And we know he's in God's hands. And we know God's work. And you know he's in heaven. So we're so proud of him, we have to be happy for him.
We're the ones that
we need the courage and the prayers now to continue without him. Because he was an inspiration for us and for so many others. So we miss his courage, his love, his determination, his laugh, his smile.
He brought so much joy into this family. He's such a fun-loving.
He was never on time, always late. And so whenever we were expecting him, it was never the right time. But we always said, well, Jimmy's coming, it's just a little late, you know? So it's just...
Because he would run into a friend or run into a colleague or someone who needed his time, and Jim was about the present, and you know, so he would take care of the present. Jim was very deliberate about that, and we knew that about him. But prayer has definitely sustained us. We have so many good people. I mean, our Catholic community, so many priests, just friends would call, offer prayer, and then just friends, family, our dear family. Everyone was praying.
I'm a physician, and so many of my people in my practice would tell me how their prayer groups, their churches, etc., were praying for Jim. People whom we never knew. It sustained us. We really had nothing for so long until the hostages were released in.
We didn't have any information. Yeah, we really started to get information when the Europeans started to be released in the spring. But we had some eyewitness reports last fall that we knew he was alive. The other thing I want to mention, though, is that Jim, because of his, he was an incredible friend. So we had this also huge support system, the FOJs, Friends of Jim, who just were tireless. I mean, they helped
all over the country.
Yeah, and world. Wow. I mean, they helped us put on Freedom of the Press Day 2 years ago, May, right after he was captured. They've helped us, like as John said, they've been trying to help us do a video and trying to figure out what are the individual way we can get him out. Maybe fundraising. What can we do? You know, and they were just there for us all the time. You know, all the time.
Did it ever feel close? Like maybe there was a.
Oh, it's been very close. I just got back from France and Denmark. We thought we had a way forward.
Do you think the U.S. did enough to try and save him?
We have no idea, because most of it was classified. We have no idea. They listened to us anytime we asked. You know, the FBI was in touch often.
But I hope they do more for Stephen.
Yes.
So The answer is no. Don't think you're more forgiven. That's my opinion.
Why do you think no?
Well, it's not because home. The human. That's right. There's more that can be done. There's more that can be done. The footprint's been laid by some of the other nations. There's more that can be done.
You mentioned you expressed your desires to the president of what you would like to see happen next. Are you satisfied with the response he gave you?
Yeah. I think he's doing the best he can in the current circumstances. Would I do something differently? Maybe. You know, I don't see the whole picture. I would like to say that I would. All I'm saying is what we've been doing to date has not been
It wasn't enough. And
didn't
yes,
save
we were
Jimmy.
Trying.
We don't know if it's going to save Stephen or any of the other people. So.
So I pray that it'll challenge our government to look deeply within and find a way to protect courageous Americans, you know, humanitarian workers, journalists who do this, who dare to go in where they know that there's a chance that they can be killed or captured. So we just pray for that.
The Syrian environment has been the highest, there has been the highest level of kidnapping among journalists in the history of journalism. So, I mean, we're asking for news, we want news, but we have to support the people who do it. And I think, in all honesty, I think the European countries do a better job of that. France and Spain revere their journalists. And the outcome is obvious, you know. I think that we take journalists for granted sometimes. They particularly freelance people, they risk their lives. They have no resources, no protection. It's not a major network. The honest truth is they stay longer in their environment, so they get better stories. But we really have...
You're hearing from John and Diane Foley, the parents of James Foley, photojournalist, and who lost his life in Iraq by the hands of ISIS, murdered. And you're hearing them share their heartfelt, memories, their love for their son, and they share about his passion, which has been amazing to see. This guy was a hero. This guy was a great guy, a loss to them, a loss certainly for us and our nation. And that's important what Jim's parents say. So we want the news, all of us do, mm-hmm. but we need to support those that are getting the news and are risking their lives every single day to educate us, inform us, and bringing us real-life information as to what is happening around the world.
They risk their lives. They have no resources, no protection. It's not a major network. The honest truth is they stay longer in their environment, so they get better stories. But we really have not enough regard for the people who do this work. It's just not enough, you know?
I remember when our two military sons were going to, were being deployed. And I remember being physically sick the whole time our first son was deployed in Afghanistan. And it turns out that it was really Jim in his work that was in much more danger. I mean, and I didn't even realize that. I mean, I really didn't even get that he was out there without anybody.
Pencil and a flak jacket.
Yeah.
That's what he had, and a helmet.
So it's taken us a while to really recognize that, you know, and recognize who he was. I think he was too close to us. I don't think we realized what a courageous humanitarian he was.
What would you tell the families of Stephen or the other captives?
We've already talked to them. At length, we know them. We've
worked with them. Yeah.
In light of what happened.
Well, we told them we would do any. We asked them what they wanted us to say on their behalf.
Follow their lead.
Yeah, and you know, the Salt Lovs asked that we beg for Stephen's life, and we did, and we'll continue to do that. And the other two asked for them to stay anonymous. They fear. If they're revealed, that they might be in even more danger. So we respect that too.
Is it Michael? Also, I mean, you have had some military experience. Is that my understanding?
No.
You're the brother who could.
He's the only one that has
the boring brother.
No. In a way, on the outside, in that way, looking in, but as a sibling, as his little brother, how helpless has it been for his brothers to stand by and see all of this play out?
Just as helpless as everyone else, you know, it just feels like my father mentioned, there was a lot of anger at first, but, you know, I think we all came to believe that this was his passion, and there was a lot of value in what he was doing and bringing some light to some of the atrocities in the world. So we, you know, we all became very supportive and did what we could, but definitely helpless.
Michael's modest. Michael was the chairperson or CEO of Jimmy's release effort from Libya, and so he is not inexperienced. Just this was an entirely different species. Never ever did the FOJs, the friends of Jim, leave him. We were establishing a fundraising organization. People volunteered out of the woodwork. We had all kinds of professionals. We had two photographers, one editor, several lawyers, all pro bono. And it just weren't enough. I mean, there were more people than we actually needed because of who Jim was, you know. And
unless we forget, excuse me, sweetie, but we must, I don't know how I can, Global Post, one of the outlets for Jim's work in Boston, Phil Balboni out of Global Post,
their CEO,
has become family. I mean, he truly stuck with us when we were discouraged. Sometimes we'd argue, we'd disagree on strategy. He was so forgiving.
And they funded a security team to help us, you know, so through their insurance. So
great expense.
A great expense, and the number is staggering.
Yeah.
So we will eternally be grateful. The outcome is not positive, but the effort and the commitment were unbelievable. You know, so
and Phil was available to us all time of
24/7,
day and night. And the other person we should acknowledge is David Bradley of the Atlantic in Washington. He really tried to gather the families of who are suffering because of their loved ones captive in Syria together. And so he also, in his way, really was there for us, he and his staff. So we are so grateful.
We had the best people helping us, best people. We lost because of many reasons. We didn't make it. But we had the best people. I have no reservations that we tried as hard as we possibly could, and had the best people helping us. There was no lack of commitment, and can't say enough about all the people who stepped up.
Sorry, I apologize for showing up late. We spoke to Father Paul earlier today, and he said, you just can't make sense out of something insane. Does that sum up how you're feeling?
Yeah. I mean, this particular group has cut a path through Iraq, a path of destruction, suffering. It's not human. It's not part of our human nature. It's not part of our Christian philosophy.
There's two things I'd like to say, then I'm going to go about Jim. One is the type of person he was. He put himself at the front of the line in this setting. And number two, his some of his final words, which I haven't memorized, really sum up him and how we feel about him. And his last hope was to be with family again. And at some point we'll be together, and those are the two takeaways that I'd like people to have about my brother.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But I mean, how do you make sense out of someone as good as Jim meeting such a fate?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it's just evil in the world, you know. I mean,
there's so much evil in the world.
So we need to pray.
None of it makes any sense.
No, we need to pray for the captors that, you know, get, you know, anyway.
Did you see the video? When did you find out that your son had been?
We found out from, actually, a combination of our my brother-in-law reaching out to us from Houston, because he's one of the administrators on the Free Foley page and webpage. He says there's something going on, you know. And then right at that same time, we heard from Laura Jakes of the AP, and, you know, she was crying on the phone. She'd been trying to reach us for days. I'd been ignoring her call because we didn't dare talk to anybody. And, you know, then we just knew. Then it was out there. We didn't, you know, we weren't directly notified. We found out like everyone else. Yeah.
Is it the image of how he died still etched in your...
Well, we knew it was Jim. We didn't watch the video.
To answer your question, you know, it's horrific. I mean, people can die in lots of different ways, but this way was the most horrific. And it haunts me that he, how much pain he was in, and how cruel this method of execution is, as opposed to so many others. So, it testifies to his courage. He was courageous to the end, and I think he accepted his situation. And I think he accepted God's faith in him and his faith in God, and just
it reminds us of Jesus. You know, Jesus was goodness, love, and Jim it was becoming more and more that. We didn't even recognize him at times, God bless him. And you know, he met such a cruel fate. So
we believe he was a martyr.
So,
you know, a martyr for freedom. A martyr for freedom. And Michael and I are both sure that he volunteered to go first. We don't know that, but I'm sure that he was the only one who had been public, so I'm sure that played into it. But I'm sure he didn't shrink from the situation and say, well, you know, let somebody else go first. That's just who he was, you know.
You deal with the loss of a son. I mean, you know, the pain must just be...
I don't even know how much pain we know we're going to face. I mean, the point is, it's just right now, it's like, this is a bad dream. It can't happen. We never thought this would happen. We were...
Jim had kind of had 9 lives. I mean, he came out of Libya, and I guess we just never gave up hope either. We just kept thinking that somehow we're getting closer. We know he's alive. We, you know, we just ran out of time. You know, he ran out of time.
What happens now? You spoke to the president earlier.
Well, it's out of our hands, actually, what happens now. Jimmy did his work. He did absolutely everything he could possibly do to make this right. So it's up to others to pick up the ball and go forward. You know, it really is. Mm-hmm. Our government, other foreign governments, it's just how long are we going to tolerate all this? You know, I mean... The Iraqi people, the Syrian people are being beat up, you know, so it's really a question of how long can we tolerate this much evil? I don't know. You know, it doesn't feel good.
Get his body from that?
That's what my mother...
Doubt it. Well, doubt it. I mean, how can you do that without going into the country and...
Yeah, they don't want to do anything to give us
solace. We don't know where the location was.
You know. No, that's certainly...
So that's another sadness, you know.
So it's just...
No indication even when it was.
Pardon?
I'm sorry, no indication really when it was. When.
You're right. I mean, all we know is when the videos appeared, you know.
Did the president offer any resolution as to where this may have happened?
No. He didn't ask that question.
So, yeah. So, anyway, but you guys agree. Thank you for caring. And please keep the message positive. Jim was about love. He wanted the country to be... He believed in our country. He hoped in our country. And so, please, you know, we just... Let's pray for Stephen.
He also hoped in the end of evil. He just didn't want people to be suffering and hurt. And the question is, how do you do that? How do you fight greed? How do you fight... meanness and hatred, you know. I think he did as much as one person could do, and I think we need to pick up that gauntlet, you know, pick up that banner and run with it as a country, as, you know, as a press, as a country, as human beings. We just can't. Jimmy just can't sit back. Jimmy could not sit back. He just could not sit back.
You're listening to Diane and John Foley, the parents of James Foley, a journalist who was murdered, beheaded in Iraq by ISIS. And we're going to continue Jim and Diane Foley's interview with the press as they're discussing their son, journalist James Foley. Watch this.
Human beings, we just can't. Jimmy just can't sit back. Jimmy could not sit back. He just could not sit back and allow things to happen without either trying to help or comment. So I think the gauntlet is ours now.
I think the Foley family, including Jim, can serve as an example for others, both those who are involved and those who are not.
I don't know, but we hope so. Anything that's positive, we hope to be an example for.
Some people are calling Jim a hero. What do you think he would say, you know?
Well, Jim certainly wouldn't consider himself a hero. We just began to see it, you know.
He would say, all I'm doing is my part.
I'm just doing my work. It's my job, you know.
I'm trying to help people be their own heroes. He was documenting the heroism of the people he worked with and lived with. They were the heroes in his mind.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, there was, about 6 months after he came out, there was a series of videos that were done by the rebels, the more the moderate FSA groups, if you will. It wasn't YouTube. It was witness.org. And they were very powerful videos and attested to how he was helping the citizens to...
He was teaching people how to take videos on their cell phones.
Yeah. He was teaching the citizens...
trying to work himself out of a job.
Yeah, he was trying to teach the citizens to bear witness to what was happening all around them. And we had to take them down because we didn't know who was holding him at the time, so we didn't dare make them public, but it just was a testament. And these were Syrians. These were people who grew to love him. Just because he ate with them, he stayed with them, he lived with them. So it was just a testament to his ability to meet people at a heart level. And he spoke no Arabic, so how he did this, I have no idea.
If and when we get the video completed, there's a young lady, a photojournalist named Nicole Tung, who spent the first 6 months with Jimmy in Syria. And one of her comments is that Jimmy could walk into a room with total strangers speaking a different language, sit down among them and get them to warm up to him and tell their stories. They would pass cigarettes around. And it was just all of a sudden like a gathering, you know, a party that he'd been invited to or whatever. He was his ability to connect with people and touch their personality and make them feel good about who they were and willing to share their story was just unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know?
That was his gift. So we thank you. Thank you. And please share the gift Jim has been to us. And I really feel, be proud to be an American. Be proud. Jim makes us proud. We need to be grateful for young men and women who risk their lives to bear witness, to bring aid to the suffering. They show the best face of Jesus, the heart of our country. So,
and there's a lot of work to be done, and hopefully you guys can push the people who needed to be pushed in the right direction to do the right thing.
Wow. You just heard from the parents of James Foley, photojournalist all over the world, who was recently beheaded by ISIS, the hands of ISIS, for the world to see. And, I'm just caught up in emotion as I'm listening to these parents describe their son. And I think the whole world just got a chance to see what a great man this man really was. Mm-hmm. He lived his passion. He lived his calling. His parents tried to discourage him from putting himself in harm's way. His mother would say, probably what a mom would say, why are you doing this? You're going to get hurt. Why are you doing this? And he says, this is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like a person living on purpose, with passion, with an awareness and knowing that they're called to do something because you're willing to lay your life down. You're willing to give it all. And this is what James did. He put himself on the line repeatedly. time and time again to be able to share and report from the front lines things that are happening that maybe others can't or wouldn't share. Mm-hmm. And like his father said, he was able to stay longer mm-hmm. and able to produce better stories because he was, you know, got him had an opportunity basically to be embedded in the land and the area that he was in. Apparently he was held captive for a couple of years as we're gathering through this interview. And just to hear and to kind of empathize with what these parents were going through over a period of time, hoping, praying that their son would be sent home, that their son would be set free, and it never happening. You know, one of the things that really just stood out to me in their testimony and in their interview with the reporters was the amazing grace that was upon their life. I mean, their son was just beheaded before the world, and they're doing a 30-minute interview. But they credit God. They credit the mm-hmm. prayers of so many people that stood with them mm-hmm. during this trial. And this wasn't something that just happened, you know, last week. This has been, it looks like some period of time, some years maybe, where he's been in incarceration, locked up in this type of prison. And they would be getting messages and words out. Mm-hmm. One that touched me was the fact that I guess they shared that one of the younger men, because James apparently was one of the older guys that was held right. captive mm-hmm. there, when he was breaking down, James just held him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It amazes me because it just helps me to remember the simple things, that mm-hmm. a kind look. You know, a nice word, a warm touch from someone that they mean so much, things that we take for granted. It really helps me to kind of seize the moment. I remember hearing the story we've shared on VFN TV of a German woman who was in a Jewish woman that was held in the concentration camp during the Holocaust. And when the American soldiers were able to come in and liberate them and get them free, mm-hmm. he gives her a kind smile and a piece of chocolate, and she lit up like it was
Christmas.
Christmas, mm-hmm. and it just amazes me not to take these things for granted. I know, Steve, that we were just talking during the break mm-hmm. because we had to take breaks. We're sorry, but you know we had to interrupt the interview. But amazing.
Yeah, just listening to them share that. That personal perspective of James's life, what was just so powerful to me was what they were saying is that he was always late. And she was saying the fact that he could not detach himself from the lives of others. Mm. He's a listener. And anytime someone would share a story with James, he was there. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was so powerful because I don't know exactly specifically what she said, but say, along the lines of the fact that he was always in the present.
Yeah.
He was there with the people that were next to him. And I think that's such a powerful mm-hmm. point, is that that's where we need to be, is so involved in the lives of others. And it's just like, that's how powerful just simply giving people our attention.
Right.
Giving people, it's just like, you know, something that the Lord made known to me, thinking about that perspective, is like when we say yes in that moment, we're saying no to everything else. Yeah. And it's just like, I want to give all of who I am right now to mm-hmm. this moment. And I am present. I'm listening. And it's just like, how powerful, like you're saying, that attention, that warm touch, to know that I am listening because you're important.
Yeah.
And I just think that's such a beautiful testimony of just listening who exactly James was.
Yeah. And I know that you were touched as well, Pat, as you're hearing, you know, his parents speak, amazing amount of grace that's on their life.
I don't know how they did it. I really don't. I don't know. I don't know if I could have that. I mean, yeah, God's grace is sufficient. But how they're keeping it together like that, I don't know. That's amazing.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just the testament to the grace of God and all the mm-hmm. prayers. You know, one of the things that I think about is that, you know, no man's an island, no man stands alone. Here are parents who had a child, and because of the child's decision, a grown man goes across the world, puts himself in harm's ways, and it just helps me to realize once again, and hopefully you too, that we're not an island, that our lives are interdependent.
Yeah.
And so we celebrate the victories with those in our lives that have done great and phenomenal things, and we enjoy those things. And we also mourn with those that have suffered tremendous loss in our lives. Today, we stand together with the Foley family. We stand together with James as an American, part of us. Mm-hmm. He's a citizen. We stand with him, and we stand for all of those that are being held captive, and we say, free them, set them free, bring them back home as they're risking their lives for us.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.